Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. The psychologist Lawrence Kohlberg, in his Theory of Moral Development, distinguishes six stages through which human beings can pass. And we all begin at stage one, where we're oriented towards essentially punishment, reward, and authority. And we have the capacity to develop all the way up to the highest level, where we are concerned with universal ethical principles, with conscience, with these applying these things in a non-conventional, a post-conventional is the word that he uses for that manner. And how do we actually progress along those stages? That's the question that he's interested in. One of the sub-questions is whether our educational institutions are well-suited for promoting moral development in the way that they set up education. And Kohlberg thought that quite a few of the schools of his own era were not well suited in the way that they were organized, in the way that they were thought out, in the activities that students were encountering, the messages that they were getting from teachers, administrators, and also other people as well, was not promoting moral development in a particularly adequate way. And he set out why he thought this was the case. So one is an emphasis upon authority, which interestingly he diagnosed as going sort of hand in hand with an unwillingness to engage in education that explicitly took stands on moral issues. There was sort of a perception at the time, and I think this still runs throughout many school settings, that it's really the family or religious institutions or something else that should be teaching these moral truths to children. As he put it, the school should be value neutral. And Kohlberg thinks that that's completely off base. It's nonsense to ever think that you're value neutral. You are, by taking the stance of value neutrality, actually saying something quite profound about values. If you strip away any sort of substantive moral teaching, you still have to maintain some sort of order, or else you can't have an institution at all. There's a lot that has to go into organizing things and disciplining and structuring. If you want to educate children, all you need to do is spend a little bit of time with them in an educational institution, and you'll see exactly what we mean. So his diagnosis is that whether they are deliberately doing things this way or not, there often tends to be this emphasis upon authority and not on something that would go beyond that, what he calls justice, an orientation towards justice. And so he says that very often the school atmosphere is generally a blend of stage one, the punishment morality, do what you need to do so you don't get punished. Whatever gets you punished is bad. Whatever doesn't get you punished is good. And stage four, the law and order view, which, if a person had progressed to that level, they're able to recognize authority and order as something good in their own right. But unfortunately, this isn't where most children are. And so he says that this often fails to impress or stimulate children who are involved in their own stage two or stage three moral philosophies, which is probably the bulk of most children. And so schools end up doing a fairly poor job in promoting moral development. If it happens, it usually happens despite what is going on in the classroom, the gymnasium, and other school settings. Kohlberg thinks that schools really need to, as he says, take moral questions seriously, that it should be an integral part of education and not just look for or promote the right answers. And there's many ways of doing this. I should mention that You know, whatever side of the political spectrum you're on, there's a tendency to think that the other side in education is carrying out indoctrination in the right, and we're putting right in quote marks, right, to show that we're being ironic about it, right answers. But really, whatever side of the spectrum you're coming from, educational institutions will have a set of right answers that they're promoting, whether they're progressive or conservative, there'll be some right answers. And Kohlberg says, you know, it's good to have answers. Quite often it's good to have them so you can push off against them. But just being told the answers, just memorizing things, just going through what used to be in the old days called catechesis, is not really promoting any moral development. And you see this over and over again in elementary schools all the way up to high schools, even in some colleges, where students are being given what the right answers are and expected to memorize them, maybe even given a little bit of explanation about it, but never going through the intellectual and affective and practical work of trying those answers on and finding where they don't entirely fit and then reworking them for themselves. The other thing that he criticizes schools for, and again, this goes back to the question of value neutrality, is that instead of using concepts like moral education, he says they use terms like socialization or acculturation or citizenship, and these have been used to refer to the moral impact on students. What is his problem with that? He says these terms ignore the problem of the standard or principle of value implied by such terms. Why should you be socialized? You know, we often hear the argument that it's very important that children go to public school so that they'll be properly socialized. Well, sometimes they are socialized in horrible ways. If they just simply encounter bullying that's never punished or addressed, what lessons are they actually learning? Socialization is not by itself automatically a good thing. And we have to be attentive to what's being implied by these terms, or citizenship in the places that still actually have some attention to that. Unfortunately, civics often falls out of the curriculum as things get pinched and squeezed. We could say the same thing about all the other aspects of life that often don't get their way into curricula. Kohlberg thinks that, you know, instead of just focusing on these ideas like socialization or citizenship, we should just come straight out and say the school, like the family, like the workplace, like every other institution within modern society, is a place where moral education should be taking place. And if it's not taking place, it's going to take place, but it's going to take place poorly. The wrong modes of moral education are going to take the place of things that would be more productive. So, what does he propose instead? He says that the aim of schools, among other things, should be, as he puts it, personal development towards more complex ways of reasoning. And this is embodied in those six stages that he has, or levels. Level one is very primitive moral reasoning. And again, that is where we all begin as children, punishment and reward. But eventually we can move past that to the second level. We can start to value other people's desires much more instrumentally. We can start carrying out more complex practical reasoning. We can start explaining ourselves in terms that refer to a wider moral universe. Level three, where we start to actually care about what other people think and feel and how they're being affected and whether they like us, that's an advance. That is a stage that many people never actually attain, but just learn to fake. But to actually attain it is some sort of achievement. It's a moral development. And so Kohlberg thinks that schools ought to be promoting this all the way up to the highest level. He calls this a qualitative transformation of the form, in the form of the child's thought or action. And what does that mean? It means that the child, as they're making choices, as they're engaging in action, so in behavioral context, as they are thinking things out and perhaps even communicating those ideas to other people, there is a transformation in quality, not just in quantity. They're not just giving longer explanations. They're better explanations of what it is that they think is right or wrong. They're more adequate. So then the question is, well, how do you actually bring this about? What are his recommendations for educational institutions? And I think if we were going to apply these, we would have to do it in sort of a triage way. We'd have to see what we can actually do at first and how many resources a school has before we try to do a one-size-fits-all model. So the first thing that he says is we really ought to use justice as an organizing principle for moral education. What would that mean? It would mean going beyond just sort of, you might say, pragmatic conceptions of keeping everybody quiet or producing as many well-educated people as possible by meeting certain, you know, standards when it comes to content or imposing authority or anything like that. We would, in fact, need people involved in the process who were at higher levels of moral development and who could embody and make decisions according to those sorts of reasoning. We probably would need level 5 and 6 people rather than just level 2 through 4, which may require developing a certain talent pool among educators and administrators. That would be an important project to carry out. But using Kohlberg's conception of justice, moving through these stages and thinking about the sort of justifications that are given for moral reasoning and decision-making, that would be an integral part of this. Another is, as the students move from stage to stage, he says, well, when does this actually happen? It doesn't happen because you give them a class or some videos or a pamphlet about how to do stage 3 reasoning or anything like that. For those who are already at stage 3 reasoning, that could be helpful. For those who are at the cusp of 2 and 3, that could be useful as well. But it really depends on creating opportunities for the students to move from one level to the next. And he says, well, why do people move from one level to the next? It's because they come to realize that the perspective that they have at the current stage is not really adequate. There's something deficient about it. And you can't simply tell somebody that that's the case. They have to be able to see that, realize it, and then want something more, or else they're never going to progress. So you can't make a whole school yard full of angels by giving them class after class after class, or workshop after workshop, or doing anything like that by just telling them the way that they're supposed to behave. They have to engage in enough other activities that will get them to the point where they can see that maybe they should shift things. Maybe they should take on a better perspective. Then you can give them that better perspective. Now, the other thing that he talks about is the absolute central importance of social interactions and of what he says, taking others' roles. That means engaging in some sort of discussion where you're hearing other people's perspectives on moral reasoning, and then thinking through conflict. You cannot advance, in Kohlberg's view, and within his system, you could say, without having conflicts that you have to address. Now, these could be real-life conflicts, a fight on the school playground, or it could be dilemmas that the school itself is facing. You know, where should we spend the money? A great example of this, are we spending too much money on athletics and not enough on all these other important activities within the school? That can be opened up for a public discussion, one that I think many principals would be unwilling to have, but that's because they are not embodying what Kohlberg is suggesting here. It'd actually be very good for students. We have to think through conflicts, and we have to have the opportunity to screw up. We have to have the opportunity to provide inadequate justifications for our points of view, and then have other people say, no, no, I think that you're missing something here, and then we can have the possibility of moving towards something better. He thinks that schools should be set up less to give all the right answers and more to promote thinking. Now, it's not to be a sort of contentless, open-ended. How do we all feel? Let's make a drum circle and share all of our ideas, and nobody's right and nobody's wrong. Instead, he thinks, no, we need to help students actually consider the inconsistencies and inadequacies in their moral frameworks and in those of others within whom they may see themselves. So there is definitely some right and wrong being used here, but that's not the ending of the discussion. Rather, it's part of the discussion. And so Kohlberg here, I've been drawing on this moral developmental review of the theory piece, but he talks about this in many other places, is sketching out for us what genuine moral education might look like as opposed to the unfortunate facsimiles or absences of it that we often tend to provide to our students. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.